This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast guy here. How many times do you get a great idea on an exercise that you can share with your team? Now, it's one that helps your people respect and understand the costs of running your business. Well, my guest Patrick McHugh and I will show you a fun and profound exercise on what happens to a $100 transaction, exactly where the money goes. Welcome to the 210th episode of the Town Hall Academy. Hey, it's important that your people get a chance to see your profit and loss statement, but for many, it will be a very difficult learning curve. Many have never, ever seen one. We have a very simple way to show and demonstrate how respecting margin, costs, and net profit have an effect on the business. This exercise will change the way you and your people look at the numbers and what it takes to grow a strong and profitable business. As I said, my guest is Patrick McHugh from Bimmer Rescue in Richmond, Virginia, and he's got a great story and a lesson for you. Man, I love this. This is why I podcast. Grateful to Shop Marketing Pros and Shopware for sponsoring the Academy. Remember them. Now stop spending time chasing customers. You know, Shopware's leading shop management system is helping shops just like yours generate more profit per ticket with less time on the phone. Break away from your legacy system and implement a completely contactless workflow today. Get started at getshopware.com. You know, when someone searches for a shop, who are they finding? Your competitors? Well, I hope not. It should be you. The good people over at Shop Marketing Pros know exactly how to drive website traffic and make Google work for you. Go on the web. Check them out. ShopMarketingPros.com. Hey, our Inventive Show Aftermarket Weekly is where we feature, and I think you know this, wisdom from a guest host and the industry's first ever virtual shop tour. It's so cool. Now, if you missed the live broadcast, you can watch the video replay at aftermarketweekly.com or listen to the show right now on your favorite podcast listening app. Search for Aftermarket Weekly and subscribe. Hey, this episode's key talking points are already done for you, including the slides we used in this exercise. You can download them. Find them at remarkableresults.biz/A210. So, are you ready to share your P&L? Let's talk about it. We're going to talk about something really, it could be life-changing for your business. I've got Patrick McHugh here from Bimmer Rescue in Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Patrick.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm Carm.
This whole thing came up. Listen, I've done this exercise back when I was in another life with corporate America. And then I invited you to come on to Aftermarket Weekly and you brought me your $100 exercise. And you didn't even tell me what it was going to be about. So then you went out and did it. And I'm going, oh my God, I know that. And you know, we did it. We spent like 8 minutes. And I said, that is just not enough justice, because this exercise, we need to really tear it apart, show the mechanics of it, and be able to transfer the knowledge to the automotive aftermarket, to the owners in the industry, so they can do it with their people. You would agree?
Absolutely.
We worked on this all week to make sure it was refined and looking good for everyone. And Patrick, this is an exercise that requires a little time, requires intimacy with your profit and loss statement, but can bring and pay big dividends for your people. What drove you to do this?
So this is a really cool and very personal topic of mine. I got into a period, COVID hasn't been particularly great on our shop. We've experienced some tough times, and it's created some tensions at times. This came about through some whisperings that I heard in my shop. Imagine the show DuckTales. There was a big vault where Scrooge McDuck would have all of his gold coins, and he would sit in there and he would jump off a diving board and swim in the gold coins like there were a swimming pool. I think some of my people thought that was what it was like, right? Patrick sits on a big pile of gold coins and he just decides when to hand them out and where to hand them out, and that's how it worked. And it hurt. It hurt me because I don't operate that way, and I share as much as I can possibly with my people, and it created this exercise. One of my tenets of my shop is transparency. We talk about it all the time with our clients, but also within, and I had a desire to be a little more transparent about where does the money go when we get it. If you collect $100 or $1,000 from a client, put it in the cash drawer, where does that money go? What does it do? How much of it winds up staying with the company? I spent days developing, taking my P&L and breaking it down into percentages. And then I broke everything down into simple terms of $100. So for example, if we collected $100, $27.46 went to paying our technicians to put the parts on the cars. That's their loaded labor cost, their pay, their workers' comp insurance, the 401k matching, the AFLEC that I pay for, and insurance matching, everything came up to $27. It was kind of eye-opening for a lot of our people. So I created this giant exercise, and then I brought each person from my shop in individually, and I walked them through with 100% transparency where the money went. And some of the people were like, whatever, Patrick, I trust you, it's fine. But some of them were really shocked with some of the costs that go into running a business and where some of this stuff goes. We didn't think about a lot of things. And it was a very, very good exercise. And one that I told them straight up, hey, this is very private information. This is a private company. This is really no one's business but mine and my wife's. But I believe in this, and I need you to see where this goes. And it paid fruit in the long run. It was very, very good that these people understood where this money was going. It changed some attitudes in the shop.
I'm glad to hear that. And the reason that we're doing this is to show not a one-on-one, everyone, here's my P&L. Yes, everyone, here's my real P&L, but we want to do this in a group because I've experienced this group think, if you will, the presentation to the group in a real live, honest to God P&L, but distilled. You could have 40 line items on a P&L and that would glaze over your people. But what if you had like a dozen expense categories kind of all consolidated together, they can still get the essence of what we're going to do. Now, is there a prerequisite at all for doing this exercise?
There is. Number one, your books have to be legit. You can't make this stuff up. It's got to be real. You got to have all your stuff in a QuickBooks or some sort of accounting system. You have to have good bookkeeping to the point where you know that a receipt from Home Depot went into the shop supplies or tools category, and a receipt from somewhere else went somewhere else. You got to keep your books tight, and you can't be inflating numbers or cooking your books or, you know, slipping your personal expenses into the company, or you're just going to be fooling yourself. So you want to use accurate, good data to do this, and or it won't work for you.
So to set this up, everyone, you've got to understand, we're going to show you an exercise. Literally, put yourself in front of your team as we show you what you could do and should do to really solidify the where the money goes. In fact, Patrick, I called this when I went out and I traveled from city to city to do this. I called it Profitability for Dummies.
Yep.
And I wasn't trying to talk down to people. I was just trying to say, you know, once you learn this thing, you're going to be so smart.
Well, yeah, and in full disclosure, I was the dummy up until a few years ago, really. Financially, I didn't really have a clue. I just tried my best and tried to do the right thing all the time, and that was how I ran my business. Once I started to dive into these numbers and understand each one, it's changed my business and changed my life. So from one dummy, this stuff is really, really important. And what you're going to do, I chose to do this privately and individually, but the exercise is very cool because it brings it down to something that anybody can understand, even if you're not super great with money, which most people aren't. You know, most people in this country don't really understand a P&L or finances, and I wouldn't expect them to. But it's our job as owners and as leaders to help them understand, and so that they do.
Totally get it. Now let's start, okay? I guess what I want to do is I want to show everyone our first slide. We're literally going to walk you through a profit and loss statement, a dummy profit and loss statement, but yet think of this as if it was yours. We're going to
Here's my little envelopes that we used, by the way. We actually had real money.
Let's put that up here on the screen a little bit bigger. Show them again.
Here's my envelopes that we used. Here's repairs and maintenance, Patrick's W-2 pay.
There's all the envelopes with money. I don't suggest that they're transparent like that. I suggest that they're a white envelope, a manila envelope. And here are an example of the kind of envelopes that you can build and put the money in based on the return of sales. And I think this is a return on sales, the ROS, the percent of sales, however you want to look at it, is such a critical component of really looking at a P&L, because if people, well, 5%, 8% of your sales should be marketing, and they look at that and they say, I don't see a percentage on my P&L anywhere. Well, if you're not getting a P&L with percentages of sales, you better get one, because that's what this whole exercise helps us do. So again, these are just examples of envelopes where there is a lot of consolidation into them. You know, sales support and supplies has like a dozen accounts in it. But whatever, however granular you keep your P&L, you can. But you know, you may have said, here's these 40 line items on my P&L to your guys. And as I said earlier, they may get glassed over, okay? You choose the envelopes, consolidate expenses, and each envelope contains money that relates to a percent of the $100 sale. Now, we're going to walk you through this. I may put these slides up on the show notes page. I actually will. So please, everyone, watch us walk through this exercise. And this isn't hard for anyone wanting to do this on your own, with your own spreadsheet, with your own PowerPoint, with your own, you know, whiteboard. You can do this. And let me just, Patrick, I need your help on this. So obviously we have to pay for the parts, right?
Yep.
So if you will, $18.37, if that's what it cost us of the $100 for parts, $18.37 divided by 100 is 8.4% of the $100. You know what you get next? You get gross profit. Wow, we really struggle to improve our gross profit, and that's the matrix that we charge up over our costs. Okay, there is an area that we could work on. Mm-hmm. We could work on it right now. This particular example, it's a strong 81%. Well, this company's got to be making huge money if it's making 81% gross margin. Let me stop for a moment and explain something. When you pull your people together, these envelopes are all made up. They should be in a jar, and people should put their hand in and take one out. If you have more envelopes than people, then somebody gets a double dip. But in each of those cases, they represent either the parts costs, they represent the expense costs, and someone represents Uncle Sam, and then someone represents the net profit of the company. And so now they are the owners of, we distribute the $100 throughout the team room, throughout the meeting. Okay. Hopefully you're all with us right now. Now let's go back into the expense side, or let's start with the expense side of the business. Tech labor costs, Patrick, let's just walk down some of these and speak to them.
So you've got your tech labor costs. This is the pay that you give your techs. This is the taxes that you pay on their behalf. This may be their uniforms, if you think about it that way. 401k matching that you put into their 401k. Any expense that you pay to have that person working for you goes into this category. It's what I like, what a lot the industry calls the loaded labor cost of your technician. And this is owner's pay. I'm in there, right? I'm here to do to make money, and that's part of my job, and hopefully you all are too. But you've got to represent yourself there as well. And this could be your W-2 pay, or if you take draws as well, it's in there. And all the other stuff. If your insurance is paid by the company, or your car, or whatever, if you run a lot of personal expenses through the company, put it in here too and be real with yourself.
Hey, Carm here. Coming up, help your people understand the value of earning a strong net profit. Hey, you know, auto repair is a high dollar, high value transaction, and your customer sensitivity about how much it costs and why is never more important than when you ask them to pay the bill. While these conversations can sometimes feel awkward or uncomfortable, it's important that you don't fall down and cheapen your services at the final step. Shopware's shop management platform now offers a solution that helps you showcase the value and sophistication that you've invested throughout the repair. With our innovative digital workflow, customers can review, approve, and even pay for services right from their smartphone. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit GetShopware.com for more information and to request a demo. Hey, Carm here. Are your competitors ranking higher than you in search? Is your marketing company using plain vanilla recycled content? And does your marketing look like every other shop's? and you're not even sure it's working. Powerful, effective marketing is not cookie cutter. It should showcase all of the things that are unique about your business. Don't you think you deserve better results? It's time to make a change. Our good friends at Shop Marketing Pros are past shop owners and industry veterans. They get it. Their process is pretty simple. Listen, create, and do. They spend time getting to know you and create a unique marketing message and then do the heavy lifting for you so you can do what you do best. Run a shop and fix cars. Do yourself a favor. Give your shop the top-notch marketing it deserves. Schedule a call today on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. That's shopmarketingpros.com. Don't wait. Do it now. One of the things that I think we have to realize when we're talking to our people is you need to look at them and says, listen, I got my whole life, my whole all my money on the line here. I started, I continued to invest, and I could have taken a lot of money, but we kept building and adding bays and buying equipment. All of that, this is my risk. Those are my assets. That's why the owner takes a paycheck.
Putting your owner's pay on here is somewhat risky and maybe isn't for everybody, but I did it. And I always made it very clear that, listen, you guys are very highly desirable technicians and employees. If something happened to this shop, you guys could go pretty much anywhere and get a job with this shop on your resume. But my entire livelihood is leveraged on this shop. If I lose my house and my whole future. That's got to be accounted for in the pay that I take home.
So for audio purposes, the tech labor cost is $20.74. Owner's pay is $9.22. Marketing is $8.57, or about 8.8% of the 100, right?
So marketing is anything you do to bring cars in the shop. That could be your direct mail, your radio advertising, Facebook ads, anything you do to bring cars in. This is your managers and your service advisors and your anyone who supports the technicians, the parts guy, anybody who's supporting, even the porter would go in here. And then this is that big, huge category that we talked about. This is all the other stuff, the repairs to the lift or the machine. This is where you put everything that you don't want to confuse everybody with, all that other miscellaneous things that added up to a couple pennies. It's nothing to discount, but this is the category that makes this exercise have 10 units rather than 42.
There's no doubt that, $6.87 of 100 is other expenses. And, when we struggle sometimes to say, I know there's a lot of ways to improve my profitability in my company. And one of them is expense management. And we sometimes don't look into other enough. You may be picking up pennies, but, if you're a multi-store owner, you're looking for every penny you can times the number of stores. But sometimes there's a lot of waste in those categories. Wouldn't it be something if you actually can take a whole, percent out of other? It would be huge. You had $1 million business, it'd be huge.
Absolutely.
It'd be huge. Next is rent, $322.
Your rent, your cams, if you pay, common area maintenance, stuff like that, anything associated with your rent goes in here. Then if you've got like a manager or somebody who runs your entire organization, maybe you're multi-shop and you got one guy who runs around and runs everything, this is him or her. Credit card fees, this is always a sore spot, right? I mean, credit card fees come right off your bottom line. You got to think about it. You got to keep your eye on it.
It is huge today. It's a surprisingly large number, 2.5% of the $100. And that's the typical rate you would pay back to a credit card company. Yep.
Sure. Hopefully less, but and these numbers are all kind of been modified to protect the innocent, but it's not too far off. Training and development is your Worldpack Smart groups, your coaching groups, your 20 groups. Anything you do to make yourself better or your employees better should go in here.
To Patrick's point, he did align these numbers with a little bit of his P&L, but in order to protect the innocent and to come up with a cohesive P&L. Again, this is an exercise, everyone, and you can either take these identical numbers and do it for your team, and it may not have the impact to the heart, to the mind of your people if it wasn't your real numbers. Next would be insurance.
Insurance, your shop insurance, anything insurance related for your cars, your loaner cars, all rolls into this pot.
And this is at $1.85 for our audio listeners. Customer transportation, $1.79.
That's our Uber rides that we give to people, our loaner car fleet, We have 8 loaner cars. All that stuff rolls into that envelope.
1.8% of sales sublet.
Yep. Paying the muffler guy to weld a muffler flex pipe back on, or the detailer guy to have a customer's cars detailed, or you know, anything that you sublet out goes in here.
Got it. Utilities?
Yep. Utilities, all the lights, the gas, the water, the internet, all those things.
Wow. $81 of gross profit and $71 of expenses.
Ooh.
I know. Wow. I thought we were going to be making like
a there it goes.
Double yep. digit net operating income. But right there, I can see that 81% gross margin to 71% of expenses brings us down to 10.5% profit before taxes. And then it is incredibly important not to ignore Uncle Sam.
He wants his share.
You got to talk about Uncle Sam. You have to. And he wants his share, and his share is $2 or 2%. And again, look at state, federal, local. Your accountant sets this. No matter what the number ends up being, you got to have it here. And it has an effect on the bottom line of the company, or what's called net profit after taxes. Of now we're down to an 8.5% net operating income, or $8.54 from that $100 bill. Well, oh my God, Mr. McDuck, Mr. McHugh, you're living with all your $8.54 gold coins. You're swimming in all that wonderful profit, and that's all yours, right?
You'd think so. And it depends on who you are as an owner and who you are as a person. There's a lot of really important things we need to do with that.
Patrick, let's hold that thought. And I want to share with our audience a different version of this spreadsheet. Now watch what I'm doing here, everyone. I took the numbers that we had at that $8.54 or 8.5% net operating income, and I stretched it over to $500,000 company or $1 million company. And I want you to realize that you don't have to do this, but you could be sitting there saying, well, this is really cool. What am I going to learn from this? I'm about $1 million company. Well, here's what $1 million company looks like at 8.5% net operating income. That means you've got about $85,400 in profit, or about $42,700 with a $500,000 company. Now, your numbers will not reflect identical to these. You may have 1% at the bottom line. And that's, you know, you're making $5,000 as an example. You got this great hobby going and you got $5,000. But the key is, I'm not sure enough people understand, as we were just mentioning, what do we use net profit for? This is what I think we want to talk about. This is the screen right here. Patrick, speak to this.
This is what net profit is for me, to me, as Patrick, as an owner. And I'll tell you right now that the difficulties we've had with COVID have taught me this, right? I didn't think this way before. But net profit to me equals a couple things. Safety, security, the ability to weather a storm, the ability to get through a disaster, and growth. Right? Being able to maybe buy another shop or have multiple businesses. Net profit grows your business and it keeps your business safe. It lets you be the shop that still exists on the other end of a disaster rather than the one down the street that can only survive for 2 weeks before he is no longer liquid anymore. You know, COVID's taught me a lot, the value of family, the value of my time with my family, and also safety and security. And how important that is to me, and how much more comfortable I am as a person knowing that I have a cushion there and I have a safety net to keep my business going if there is a disaster, right? That allows me to sleep better at night, number one. And number two, it allows me to make better decisions, to not make decisions out of fear or out of anxiety, but to really think about things and make the right decision and know I can make it through.
This is the screen that I am not sure, Patrick, there are enough of our people that realize that sustainability in our business comes from making a profit. I think until you do the exercise, you really, really do the exercise and show everyone based on that $100 of income, if everything goes right and we continue to do, you know, cost management, margin management, minimum of 8.5% based on our legacy company, what the company's been churning. But you know what? The big shakers in our industry are making 20%. And so why should we be happy being on the low quartile? Our team even though they may not be prepared to hear this, they need to hear it. It reminds me of generating thoughts and generating ideas and people saying, even 2 weeks down the road, wow, that was a great exercise Patrick put us through. I just saw an example of where actually we could have saved some money or made some more money or generated some more sales because I want to stick around. I like working here. That's the security piece of it. And so my recommendation to everyone is let's not just do this once, set it and forget it. Let's maybe once a year get together and say, hey, I want to review the P&L. Now, you may not do the envelopes and the money, but I still think the $100 exercise would be very beneficial for our team. Why? Not everyone's going to absorb it. Not everyone's going to get it on the first blush. So this is, in my opinion, a very strong and a very important exercise. Whatever you want to call it, profitability for dummies, where the money goes, the $100 exercise, Patrick, that you called it for your people. We've had some great comments. I thank so much. There's Bill Haas. Net profit is what makes the business investable. Yeah. I think about you wanting to put more money into it if you can't make money to start with.
Will a bank lend you money if you can't show profit, right? Banks are much more likely to lend you money to go achieve your dreams if you can show a history of profit.
The power of this whole show came from Patrick's why. And if you're just joining us and you missed the beginning when Patrick said he was really worried and concerned that his people were thinking that, you know, he's got a gold reserve and he doesn't, that he needed to share transparently his profit and loss statement. So think about the feeling Patrick had about his people and what you constantly ask them to do, but they don't really know how successful we are. And think until you share that.
One of my guys, after I did the exercise with him, because I did this exercise privately with my team, he sat in the office and he said, you know what, Patrick? I never really knew what you did in here all day. He said, this is impressive. You spent a lot of time on this. And I really like that. He made it clear that he saw that I took this very seriously. And I told him straight up, this is my job. It is my job to make sure that this works and that all these things are in the right places to keep our ship off the rocks, right? That's literally one of my main purposes as the owner of this company. It's very, very important. And I want to say one thing to the people out there that when they saw all those numbers, they just kind of, the hair on the back of their neck stood up and they kind of cringed. You don't have to be a master of this stuff to be a good auto shop owner. If you have people on your team that are like, for example, everyone here should have an accountant or somebody that manages their books, you can reach out to them and explain what you're doing, and they will probably light up with excitement to help you do this exercise and help present you with all the material you need to do it. My banker, when I went to the bank to get the actual envelopes out, was absolutely beside himself because he teaches these classes. He teaches like personal finance classes. And, you know, you don't have to know every single detail and be a master of a P&L to do this exercise.
Great point, my friend. Everyone, the most critical part is really respecting that return on sales number. Because as you look at this very simple exercise in front of you, now we look at this at a $500,000 business, or $1 million business. Now you can look at $24,900 on $1 million business is 2.49%. Your business coach will help you with a budget based on the return on sales or the percentage numbers. And you may go out and say, listen, we're spending 6.9% on other expenses. Do you think we could reduce that by 1%? 1% on $1 million business is a hefty, nice little number. I would like to thank you so much for bringing this to us as we continue on the podcast, on the Academy on Remarkable Results Radio, as we continue to bring a lot more how stuff to the industry. I'm big on how this year, and I'm big on trying to come up with new proof of concepts for our future. And let's just consider that this one, financial knowledge, financial stability, is going to be one of them. You got to involve your people. Hey, thanks so much, Patrick. Appreciate you being here. And we will see you. Thanks for allowing us to be an hour late today, everyone. And thanks for who's hanging out with us. And we sure appreciate everyone for being here. Bye now.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.